Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, where I, Monique Chambers, am joined by businesses that have sold their product and services overseas. Welcome to this week's Exporting Malta. With me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is David Schwereb from the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry. That's a long, long company title.
It was easy for you. You have your family name forming part of the intro. So
you belong to me.
Absolutely. That was, should have been easy.
So what does the Chamber do for me? And Malta.
Oh, right. Okay, so the Chamber is a 172-year-old organization,
wow.
So that's way old.
Okay.
But, of course, it has been very pivotal and very involved in the economic development of the country for so many years. There was the need for this way back when it all started. The Chambers of Commerce in most countries form an integral part of the economic development of their own countries.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in Malta, this is nothing less. In other countries, there will be other sub-regional chambers. In Malta, there's only the one, which is the National Chamber.
Right.
And what the Chamber does really is puts together like-minded business people, people who are ethical, responsible, have values, of course, to ensure that growth is sustainable, growth is real, and of course that all actions are done in the appropriate way and the competition is carried out in a level playing field.
Okay.
So typically, therefore, we would very much engage in legislation that would ensure this, would be in support of governments to help them restructure and update the economic environment to allow this to happen. And of course, propose ideas and suggestions and recommendations on what it is that we could do to make, you know, business and life in general better.
So that's sort of making sure that businesses have policies to be guided by, they have some assistance, they have some help, and you guys also as a sounding board maybe?
As a sounding board, certainly an opportunity for networking. Now this is the grassroots side, so people come together at the chamber because they want to meet each other, they want to share ideas, they want to understand, meet role models, say, in a certain area of business.
Uh-huh.
It's typical of the younger generation members that we have, which is great, really, because that's what the older generation wants to do, and that's what the younger generation expects. So the chamber is really a melting pot of discussion, thoughts, processes, recommendations, conversations, disagreements, if you like, negotiation, what have you, in the life of a nation. Of course, the fact that we are the Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry means that we are, of course, very involved in what is economic, what is growth, what will run the economic development of a country. But certainly, we're more than that. We're more also about ethics, as people might have picked up over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that was the priority to talk about and to converse with and to contribute with in the last couple of months and weeks. The same thing would be with the next steps in the development of a country. Every step of the way, like most organizations, most businesses would have a business plan. They would see what it is that is cooking, if you like, in the world of their trade, in this case, the country, from a chamber perspective, and try to excite our members to move in the right direction, to seek the right advice, to link up with the right people, potentially also to link up with the right country when it comes to internationalization.
So, for example, you say that you've got commerce, enterprise and industry. So, you know, Malta has these various areas of business.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some manufacturing, there's financial services, there's tourism, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're involved in all of those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And so say when gaming came into Malta, that's something you would have built something on.
Absolutely.
To be able to help businesses cope with that influx of change.
Yeah. So Malta has a great opportunity that has all of the business and manufacturing and industry interests,
mm-hmm,
covered by the one organization, which is our chamber. In other countries, you typically have chamber, if you like, or an organization for industry, something for commerce or retail, certainly one for services.
Okay.
So in Malta, this is all combined into one. After all, we are a small country, so therefore, why would we want to have more than one organization? It was like this in the past. These all have merged into this organization that we are managing right now. But also because because getting them to work together and to converse with each other enables a melting pot of ideas and opportunities that are best addressed together rather than in separate silos. So this really is a great opportunity, I think.
Because that's it. So, you know, an industry can come in or, you know, start to be born, whether it's e-commerce just because of technological advancements. But there are support services that need to go in that aren't necessarily e-commerce.
Absolutely.
So working this way, your members benefit. So.
Yeah, and of course, we're looking at the next industries, like we talk about tech and the next levels of tech. We talk about AI, of course, we talk about blockchain, Internet of Things, quantum physics, 3D printing.
Yeah, quantum physics.
Yeah, these are all areas that will be affecting our what we do, what we study, what we graduate in, what we will be working on, what industries we're forming part of. The need to have a conversation and the preparation in that respect, not only from an industrial perspective, but also from an educational perspective, is paramount to any success of any organization, including a country.
So you're talking about you do like these reports and recommendations for the government, for example, and your members.
Yes.
How does that come about? How do you get those together?
Okay, so first of all, there is a need, some sort of need that comes from somewhere. It's either a national priority or a national disaster in some area, if you like, or the national shortcoming in one area. And the chamber, rather than point fingers at an organization or an institution, will of course do that, but will engage, roll up its sleeves, and engage some of its best members, best placed to provide ideas and suggestions on what next in that area, in that respect. And typically would come up with a document that we're able not only to present, and not only to explain, but also to offer a helping hand to get involved in the development of, say, an idea or the correction of a shortcoming that we might have experienced in the history of a country. That's what the chamber would do. And typically, of course, chamber membership is is membership where one would expect to get something out of the chamber, which is great. I mean, the opportunity for networking, to be informed, to be educated, to be influential, these are all opportunities.
Absolutely.
But actually, the best member, the best, and we have a lot of these, thankfully, some of the best chamber members are those that actually give more than they take back. Because in giving, it's not religious or spiritual, but actually in giving, you're actually taking a lot back. So typically we would get like-minded people who have an interest or a contribution or experience to be, you know, to be cherished and to be acknowledged in a specific sector, a specific subject, come together, discuss, you know, the matter in detail, and eventually come up with an unified opinion that becomes the chamber's opinion, and eventually then, you know, taken through the rigmarole of meetings with the institutions or with government or prime minister or ministers, what have you.
So your members are not just CEOs. You would have members from any sort of strata in any organization, big organizations and small.
Absolutely. So the chamber, again, is very lucky to be representative of pretty much all of the big players in industry, in the services industry, in the manufacturing industry, or in the retail business. But also the larger size of its membership is actually the medium to small. And therefore, the degradation of membership allows us to ensure that we are representing the widespread interests of members. And when we are discussing a subject, we are ensuring that we are considering all aspects of any one particular subject matter. So therefore, the input of the larger organization, the medium and the small, is important. Typically, members would be the leaders of those organizations. Membership is either individual or corporate to start off with. So either somebody can be a member on an individual basis, but if an organization is large enough, typically it would be a corporate membership that they would engage with, and the members that form part of that corporate members would typically be the CEO, managing director, or chairman. Then it would be a CFO and maybe somebody in business development, typically, and anyone who thinks that they have anything to contribute towards the chamber or something to be taken away from, say, a thematic committee or a conversation within the chamber.
Because that's what you know, a lot of CEOs, because like I said, lots of small companies in Malta, there's no one to pat them on the back. There's no one to say, that's a great idea, or even, you know, who do they get influenced by? So being able to network with their peers and hear what other companies are doing, maybe not delivering the same product or service, but actually, you manage that like that. Or even, you know, currently Malta's obviously got some reputational damage, but also we struggle with not attracting people to Malta, because people, you know, why wouldn't you want to live here? It's gorgeous. But living here has become expensive. It's become crowded. It's difficult for people with young children to settle in. So is that something as well that you can you help with by giving them some information, or at least feeding back to the governments and the other institutions that we're struggling with, you know, brain power. How can we get people to come here and want to stay here for more than this sort of typical 2 years?
So we have the Chamber of Commerce. This is a great question for me to answer, because we have just, the Chamber of Commerce has just launched an economic vision for the country,
right,
and looking forward for into 5 years. In doing so, we engaged with 28 top CEOs in Malta who have dreamt of the country moving forward and came back and said, this is what we need to do to get us there.
Okay.
The crowd that we, our membership, that is, that we launched this to, and the participation that we are requesting, is the participation of all of our membership, which includes, of course, the big players, the medium players, and the small players. As soon after the meeting, I also had, say, two architects who said, you know what, we really liked what you said about the, you know, the need to reverse the uglification of Malta. Just this one typical example. It's actually in our economic vision. We talk about beauty. We talk about sustainability. We talk about the environment. We talk about transport. We talk about clean air as part and parcel of economic growth. And you would find one or two people, say, like I had a couple of days ago, in the last couple of days, wherein people would say, you know what, we really like that part of the economic vision and we really want to participate by pitching in with our best ideas to ensure that the bigger picture considers our opinions, and therefore our opinion is actually richer in that respect. Of course, we do have, you know, the big manufacturing organizations that are involved here, which have their own specific needs, requirements, shortcomings and concerns, and their way of wanting to grow their business in a manner that is sustainable, that does not stop short of engaging with the future generations and the growth of their own business. So certainly in those respects, the need to respect the environment, to respect the quality of the air, the quality of our water, the quality of our resources, how we travel from one place to the other, what's the quality of our transportation, do we do this effectively, how we're using our resources, I think I must have said that, is paramount. Internationalization is another area. I mean, is Malta big enough or large enough to sustain growth? Is this going to happen because we're going to build even more homes or more factories or more, you know, tall buildings, skyscrapers, or is this going to happen because we're going to be intelligent with the manner with which we use our resources and how we are going to internationalize our efforts into other jurisdictions, other countries? And this is certainly another area, another very important part of this document. So yes, the Chamber is an open building. We have this building in Valletta, which is a fantastic building.
It's a very lovely building.
Lovely building, yes, yes. So I would invite everyone to come and visit and have a, we have actually a book that has been drafted a couple of years ago that describes the history not only of the activities in the building but also of the beauty of our architecture. But we're transforming this building now into a technological hub wherein people can come in and of course connect with any form of media imaginable, but are also able to engage in a meeting with the Chamber, not by necessarily physically coming to the Chamber, but actually connecting from wherever it is you are in the world.
Okay.
And therefore you can contribute and take back into the Chamber conversation pretty much from everywhere.
Yeah. So how do you help, because you talk about members connecting from anywhere, how do you help businesses from Malta when, you know, Malta's just not big enough for them, or it's not the right market for them, but the idea is here. How do you help them step off the rock?
Oh, here is where we have a mountain of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to start off with, internationalization for the Chamber has been a major priority for many years. We have partnered up with a number of institutions, including Malta Enterprise and other organizations, but the Chamber has always led the opportunity and the thought processes to move into other areas. It has signed many MOUs with many countries in order to exchange information, ideas and contacts and so on. The second thing is that the Chamber has now for the last 5 years been in partnership through a public-private partnership with government. In an organization called Trade Malta. Trade Malta is an extension of the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry in ensuring that our members are served and are supported in moving their business or growing their business internationally, especially in the emerging markets. So at the moment we talk about Ghana, we talk about Ethiopia, we talk about Sub-Saharan Africa, we talk about the Middle Eastern side of, you know, parts of the Middle East, the undeveloped Middle East, if you like. Certainly the undeveloped parts of Europe, these are the areas that Trade Mota would typically, as an extension of the chamber, would typically support our members to internationalize in. So we have the banks, we have government, we have the president, the prime minister, the ministers that support us, travel with us to ensure that we are stream flowing and ensuring that this works very well. Apart from that, then the chamber fills in the other gaps. That is, all the other gaps that are not driven by export business into emerging markets. So anything which is export to non-emerging markets or import is really covered by the chamber.
Right.
And here we have a very strong team at the Chamber of Commerce that works exactly on this. We derive funds from the European Union called EEN funds, with which we support our members free of charge to put them in contact with their peers internationally, wherever those are, support them in growing, you know, in connecting them, organizing B2B events, bringing people over, sending people over. It's a lot of things that we do to ensure that we crack, if you like, the boundaries of our shores as the limit within which Maltese business can happen. The other matter at the moment is, of course, that given the current economic success that this country has gone through in the last couple of years, this could have, and this is the area which we are really focusing on at the moment, could have made our businesses numb, comfortably numb in their comfort zone, which is, you know, being happy with the growth patterns that we have experienced pretty much within our shores. This at a time when we need to think of the next steps of growth, of correction, of economic change or change in ecosystem in Malta or elsewhere, this brings about an even more important responsibility on the chamber and our members to move outside our shores and ensure that their businesses are connected and are able to grow in territories that are maybe less cluttered, if I may.
And also giving them, you give them the education and the knowledge as well as these contacts.
Absolutely.
That they have, so that they can compete fairly, that they're not going to, you know, because internationalizing is expensive business.
Absolutely.
But you've already done all the background work for them in terms of researching which markets are ready for...
Yep. And making sure that the contacts that we are providing them are contacts that are recommended, that, you know, they're not time wasters, certainly not criminal people, you know, because you never know who you're dealing with. Certainly a preparation on cultural differences, on how people negotiate, people discuss, people talk, people build relationships. This is very important. So the preparedness for those sort of interactions with anyone in the sub-Saharan African part of the world, with the North African part of the world, with the Asian part of the world, and so on, needs preparation. And that preparation, that mindset, that intelligence can only help our young entrepreneurs, our entrepreneurs who are wanting to internationalize, to get there faster with lesser risks. Risks will always remain in anything that we do, but what we try to do is to get them there faster, reduce their risk, and ensure that we're able to get them to target as soon as possible, because that is in the best interest of our economy anyway.
That's it, because it can be either really overwhelming, you're stepping into, you know, a country where you really know nothing about, sort of thing, or on the other hand, you know, if you're a very successful Maltese company, you might be slightly arrogant about stepping abroad, because you think, well, hey, I'm so and so, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And you walk in and you're nobody in that country, and that must be something else that you need to be able to manage.
It's quite amazing, actually, that the national reaction to this that you just suggested to me is that our larger organizations are actually normally very small in the international world. Even our largest services offices or our largest manufacturing plants or our larger exporter is actually very small. When we go to China, when we go to Ghana, when we go to Ethiopia, when we go to Turkey, when we go to wherever it is in the Middle East or Europe. So there's one. Number two, there's value in developing partnerships, Maltese partnerships. So when people travel together, they're able, one, to support each other, to provide comfort and solace to each other, to be able to cry on each other's on each other's shoulders when things go wrong, but also to celebrate when things go right, to share risk, but also to provide products or services that are more complete than the fragmented little sort of islets that we have in this country. So typically, two competitors in Malta that are pretty much in the same field in Malta might very well consider, and actually should consider, the advantages of coming together as one unit and presenting themselves as one unit when trying to win a job or a bid or a service, whatever it is that they're doing in a different organization. They will normally find that doing it that way means that risk is shared, that intelligence is also shared, that discussions are healthier and stronger, and the opportunity for success is actually higher.
That's it. And if one of the businesses struggles, then you've got the other one to fall back on, but also logistics, all of that stuff is kind of halved, you know, problem halved.
No, absolutely.
Problem shared is problem halved.
There you go. Exactly. There it goes. There it goes. You're right.
So what are the countries that you're focusing on at this point in time? Where are Maltese companies doing well?
Okay, Maltese companies are pretty much do well in most countries they dream of moving in. That's because they do incredibly good and incredibly detailed due diligence.
Okay.
At the moment, only a couple of weeks ago, Malta launched its vision for the African market. It's not just sub-Saharan, it's also North African.
Okay.
So the Ministry for Foreign Affairs at the time launched its economic vision in which we participated, and we are at the moment coming to terms with its conclusion to ensure that as a country, from a diplomatic perspective, from a foreign affairs perspective, from an economic growth perspective, from a trade perspective, certainly from a business community perspective, are aligned on what it is that we want to engage with and how what it is that we want to derive from such activities, to ensure that we do not waste each other's resources or time, and ensure that we can get there faster as a unit, as a country. So there goes. If I had to look at Africa, after, you know, Libya is a little bit off limits at the moment, unfortunately. Yeah. Still, some people still traveling to Libya, but again, with serious limitations for reasons that we can understand. But since then, and after having explored the North African coast, including Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, and so on, sub-Saharan Africa, which was an area that we never quite normally talked about, has become the talk of the town. And if I had to single out two countries that I have done already, that are pole position, if you like, in the interest levels of our business community, that would be Ghana and Ethiopia. This is not only successful in the minds of business people, but actually supported by the investment of an embassy in Ghana now. We certainly have an embassy, a Ghanaian embassy in Malta. We are doing the same thing in Ethiopia.
Okay.
The government is considering a direct flight from Malta to Ghana. Banks are supporting initiatives to try and ensure that they support the financial and the money movement processes between these countries and Malta, which currently exists in its limited format. But certainly the enthusiasm and the motivation, even the success stories of business people that have moved to these territories that are where until 2-3 years ago were not even mentioned, let alone considered, has been encouraging. Only in a couple of days, and literally in the first week of March, we're having a contingent of business people traveling to Ghana with our Ministry of the Economy, Silvio Shkembri, as a follow-up to previous visits carried out by our ex-president of the Republic and the previous Prime Minister as well, in ensuring that we are continuously drilling on the areas that we think would bear us fruit.
I was going to ask, so what's the thing about Ghana? What is it, apart from, okay, we have this embassy, what's the opportunity there? What are the big things that they need that Maltese companies can potentially help with? Because we don't have many more people, so what's the brain that we have that they want to buy?
Okay, so first, why Ghana? So the due diligence that we carried out certainly show that the Ghanaian mindset in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of risk from a diplomatic or also from a safety perspective, is actually one of the better countries to move into. So therefore there's safety, there's ambition, and there's also cultural connection. I traveled to Ghana twice already myself. I can say it's not only a beautiful country, but certainly an undeveloped country. And when you talk to anyone in responsibility, in business, in government, in ministers, they all talk about needs that we used to talk about 30, maybe 40 years ago,
okay.
which we have managed to lift up beyond pretty much our competition and have excelled in most areas. Tourism is just, say, one. Let me just mention tourism just to have mentioned one. We know that we wanted to be a tourism destination 30, 40 years ago. Here we are, and tourism is one of our most robust and most consistent economic contributors to our country's growth. And we do this well. Our brand as a tourist destination is quite good. Ghana can offer an incredible amount of tourism experiences that are untapped, undeveloped, unorganized. And of course, this is where, and this is happening, where the tourism interests in Ghana are looking at Malta to learn from our own experiences. So we are not going to be exporting our people. We're not going to export any resources.
Can we take some of the high rises?
Yeah, maybe take some of the high rises. Certainly, we'll not advise on any mistakes that we have done. And maybe that's one of them, and maybe others. But certainly export the good practices. Mm. And therefore, we're going to be exporting talent, exporting knowledge, exporting intellectual property, if you like, into a country by simply using our own background and our own experiences. The same thing will happen in the areas of art and culture,
okay.
as I understand, yes. So there are interests in the aspects of high-quality laboratory development. So, you know, we've been very strong in our pharmaceutical mm-hmm. industry here in Malta. There's a serious interest for pharmaceutical industry development in Ghana. One area that I know is being developed as we speak is an export of our experience in the support of these industries through qualitative laboratories that will enable the development of IPs in Ghana.
Fantastic.
So here we have Maltese companies that have exported their knowledge and are now in Ghana doing exactly this. We have other technology structures such as the monitoring of the movement of vehicles, movement of people, with security systems in buildings
okay.
or in infrastructure that Maltese companies have exported into Ghana already, and so on and so forth. There is, of course, interest for us to help them design infrastructure,
uh-huh.
such as roads and airports and stuff like that, which we have only learned. Yes, which we have only learned in the last couple of years. Certainly, maybe one thing we will want to ask them do is to plan ahead and ensure that the transport is looked at as a complete subject, and road infrastructure construction is not an end in itself, if I may.
Because 30 years later, obviously,
yes.
they'll learn by the fast growth that can actually happen when you don't think it's going to come. It's been really fascinating talking to you, David Schwereb from the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, produced by me, Monique Chambers, with technical assistance from Carmela Grech and Redent Abdillah. This show is aired every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and repeated on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. here on Campus FM.